everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Witch and Moan. I'm your perfect prefect host, Sheridan Kelly.
And I'm your brooding host with a mysterious past, Raquel Musser.
But that's not all. My mom said that since she paid for the microphone, I have to have my airhead brother on for an episode.
Can we just get this over with?
You actually have to speak into the mic, dipshit.
Can we just get this over with?
Jeez. And if that wasn't bad enough, for some reason, my nerd cousin is here, too.
It's not like I want to be here.
Yeah, that's the spirit, guys. So glad you're both here. This is such a fucking...
Anyway, for this special episode, we thought we'd take a break from the prestigious Blasphemy Halls.
So these two don't ruin an actual episode.
So instead, we'll be talking about my new obsession, Legacies on the CW. I've only just started watching the show and getting Sheridan to watch it, but it's already my new obsesh. Have any of you guys seen it, other than Sheridan, obviously?
I don't really understand.
No, I haven't seen any.
Yeah, of course. Of course I've seen some. It doesn't really matter, though, because some of our listeners...
You mean mom and dad.
Yeah, probably haven't either. So let me explain the show for anyone who doesn't know. Okay, so there's this special magic school. It's basically like Hogwarts and Twilight combined, which is obviously going to sell everybody on it. Main character is Hope Michelson, the chosen one trademark. She's special since she's a tripod, which
you
vampire
mean, wait,
were-
tribred.
That's what I said. Tripod. Which vampire werewolf?
Tribred.
That's tripod. That's unique. Since that combo doesn't tend to bone, but her parents were into some freaky deaky shit.
Yeah. There's this tar pit slash bad guy called Malivore, and he keeps letting monsters out, right? And they keep attacking the school, and it's like maybe because of Hope's new boyfriend, but again, also there's like all the other love interests and everything else that's going on. And like they really experiment with genre. There's this whole balance of like monster of the week, teen drama. You have like
yeah,
the school
you're really
aspect.
Into that shit.
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously. Anyway, how do we want to approach this? Because we picked out some episodes to talk about, but I'm not sure if we should just like jump in or what should we do?
Should we talk about the characters first?
Yeah, great idea. Kyle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait.
I don't even know what. I don't even know why I'm on this show. Okay, and also very professional. You didn't even introduce me. My name's Rowan. I'm the favorite brother of the favorite child of the family.
Mm-hmm. That's a dream world, but that's cool.
So what is this show?
Okay. So we talk about the shit that we like. We're talking about a show. We literally just explained everything.
No, sorry. I mean,
did you not listen?
This show, Legacies. I didn't watch it or anything.
I just gave a great summary. Like, yeah. We have the tripod.
Tribrid
is there to save the world because she's like the ultimate hero. And we have Twilight Hogwarts, where they teach a bunch of fucking magic freaks and they all get these other monsters to come out. And there's this tar pit that has a conscience, I guess. And it's, you know, it's, I mean, Raquel. Okay. I really need to ask, like, Rowan and Kyle, are you guys seriously doing this shit? This drives me fucking crazy.
What?
Don't act like you don't know. Are you kidding me? Raquel, they keep doing this. I know you guys are fucking obsessed with Chris Hemsworth, but you don't have to do this fucking Australian accent shit like every time
I'm around
you. I just
figured maybe
you.
like they were a doctor.
Oh my god.
Or something.
No, they every fucking time.
It's just a
they
new
just,
thing
like,
we're trying out.
Yeah.
Right?
You guys are such.
Okay,
like,
sorry. I'll
it's
go
not
back
even
to
that
my regular
good.
Accent.
Okay. I mean, I have to admit, like, you do sound a little cooler with the Australian accent, but, like, you're not even that good at it. So, yeah. I mean, stop trying.
Yeah, but speaking of people who are really good at acting, I think we should start by talking about Hope. She's like the main character, obviously. She's super beautiful. She's really, really badass, right? But she also is like, you know, dark and brooding because she's been through a lot of things, you know, and she makes mistakes. She sometimes like lies to her boyfriend to protect him. And like, that's not great. And sometimes when her boyfriend's best friend says that she like, or that he's in love with her and so he doesn't want to be around her because of his best friend and all of that, she still like talks to him all the time. And so, you know, that's kind of an issue. But she just has these like big, beautiful eyes and, you know, Hope. Who doesn't love Hope?
I mean, everyone's got a major hard on for Hope. It's like super awkward. And it's basically like, how much does this magic school suck? Because like, no matter how many people they have and how they're trying to teach people how to control their abilities, Hope's always the one that has to fix everything. Like,
well, okay. You know that offensive magic is really, you know, like it's problematic. Okay. Like they can't just like, you know,
that's true.
Attack people.
Unless you're the tripod.
Tribrid.
And it's worth pointing out by tribrid, they mean that she's half werewolf, half vampire, and half witch.
Yes, because that's how fucking halves work. You do great math class, don't you?
I love that. It really sets the tone for this show that they called the main character Hope. Like, it's so on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, they really love bringing her name into everything, too. Like,
yeah, they do sometimes, you know, use it as like a metaphor sometimes, I think. A little too much, but also like kind of in a sometimes in a really poignant way.
Yeah.
There's a Star Wars episode just called A New Hope. I don't think that's poignant.
That episode, Hope, you know, we learn some more about Hope's past and her journey, and she's encouraged to become a new version of herself and to not just give in to having to defeat Malivore and sacrifice herself. Tribrid, yeah. It's hard. It's hard to be the tribrid.
It's hard to be the tripod. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. Okay, all these episodes are ridiculous. I enjoyed them all, but they're all fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, a little.
A little.
Yeah, I mean, I can't lie. But they're so enjoyable, you know?
Yes. I'll give you that. They're enjoyable, but like...
Yeah.
I mean, holy Star Wars ripoff. I mean, I know it's supposed to be a Star Wars ripoff, but like, I don't even know what to say about it. Go ahead, Raquel. Explain how, I guess, the artistic genius of the Star Wars episode. Because we watched Star Wars, like, at least I did, and you told me you watched it growing up, so.
Yeah, I saw at least some of them. I do think, though, that, I mean, it seems like they're spending a decent amount of money with, you know, the special effects and the costumes and the lighting and everything. And that episode, you know, you really, it was very visual, which was really great. I also do think that they walk a fine line between being kind of serious and like kind of making fun of things. Like, I think that they were like, I really love this show. Like, or I really, you know, they like Star Wars, I think. Because they had all the pieces there. It seemed really like loving, but then also like just enough to make fun of it. And it was interesting seeing like those characters fit into some different archetypes of like, you know, the servant droid and like the princess and then like the chosen one. And like it all came together nicely.
I don't know, like Kyle and Rowan are like major nerds, so I feel like that episode should appeal, but
this,
I don't know if it is.
This whole show sounds really made up from the way you're describing it so far.
Like we're making it up as we go along. Yeah, I mean, I could see why.
Like, it just seems ridiculous.
I mean,
but like they really get into some things, right? Like, in they introduce this concept, right? Where they go into this box and they deal with like their subconscious thoughts and their problems and it allows them to really come to like deep understandings, right? And they do have some fun with it, you know. So in one of the episodes, they go into this box and then they have like a film noir episode, right? Where they get to have the fun, you know, narration and the dramatic people dying, the, you know, black and white. It's really fun. All the dying, hairstyles. Great. But they don't really die, right? Because they're in like a, they're in a box, and so they just wake up. And it allows them to really touch into, you know, like deep emotions and struggles. While
is
also
this shit making sense at all to you guys? Like at all?
I feel like
because
there's an important.
It's like a fever dream, right?
Yeah, I think the important piece of context to know about this show, Legacies, is that it's a spin-off of a spin-off, right?
Right. It might even be a spin-off of a spin-off. Yeah.
Well,
Vampire Sexy Time. That's pretty much what the main show is, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Vampire Diaries, right?
Yeah.
Diaries.
So it's Vampire Diaries, and then they did a spin-off of that called The Originals. So Vampire Diaries ran for like a million seasons or something. And then they did The Originals, which ran for, I don't know, some number of seasons. But in the fifth season of that show, Hope Mikkelsen was a character. And then she spun off into her own show called Legacies. So
You're doing a really bad job at acting like you've never seen the show before.
Oh, I'm just looking up the Wikipedia page for it right now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of BS right there. But just like your accents.
I think it's like, you say that the first one ran for a billion seasons. It's on the CW. It's kind of a given that all of them have run for far too many seasons, including Legacies.
I guess too many. That's a good way to say it. Because
this feels like a show that should have been canceled halfway through its first season, but they're currently airing the fourth season now, right?
I was going to say through the first episode, but I think that's, I feel like,
we know how those two negative Nancys feel. Kyle, did you watch any of it? Do you have a favorite character?
I've watched just like a little bit, just when it's been on. I don't like actively go and watch it. But my favorite character is definitely Penelope Park.
I love her. What do you like about her?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe explain a little bit so that Rowan can catch up.
So she's in the first episode and she's like the ex-girlfriend of one of the main characters. And basically they act like she's really evil, but it turns out she's just a badass and she's actually a really good person.
She's actually a really good
person. But mostly she's just a sarcastic asshole, and I like that.
Is she as good of a person as the tripod?
Tribread.
That she's like, to be the tripod, you have to be the ultimate.
Is this a thing from the show? The tripod tribrid thing?
It's the tripod.
It's the tripod tribrid. No, she's
tripod.
No.
It's okay.
It's not.
Yeah, it's fine. You're just embarrassed because you can't remember what it's actually called, but it's okay. It's the tripod. And it's a tri. I don't know. It's like she of course. Okay.
Tribrid. It's not that hard.
I mean, everyone's hard for Hope Mikkelsen, so I don't know what to tell you. But she's like, okay, she's a vampire, as he so eloquently put earlier, half vampire, half witch, and half werewolf, because that's how special the tripod is. She can make three halves.
What does that practically mean? Like, does she sometimes turn into a wolf, sometimes drink blood? Like,
it seems like just whenever like the plot know makes it convenient, you know, for her. She mostly does witch stuff. Like, I think she just turned into a wolf a couple times, and of course it's the only like white wolf, and all the other wolves are like basic bitch wolves. But she gets to be the cool white wolf because she's the tripod. And then the vampire, I don't even know if I've seen her be a vampire. Maybe Raquel would know more about that. But like,
I actually do. One of the things in this universe is that in order to become a vampire, you have to die with vampire blood in your system. So while she technically has vampire blood in her system, she hasn't died, right? So she won't have access to those powers until she dies. But her father was like, I think a baddie from the original Vampire Diaries. And her mom is like a werewolf. And like, I think everyone is just sort of related to a witch in this world. So I don't actually know why it's so unique. I guess just because vampires and werewolves like hate each other.
So really it's the vampire and werewolf bit that's the weird bit, not anything else?
I think so. I mean, just like, I mean, the witch part is the coolest bit because, yeah, she does like really cool magic spells all the time. And you can't really do spells that require you to say Latin if you're a wolf with, like, you know, a different mouth and stuff.
That makes sense.
But her, the fact that she's the tribrid is like really important.
It's so important.
Are we? It's mostly important because what they learn halfway through season one is that the only way to kill Malivore, the bad guy, is with the blood of a tribrid.
Right, because there was a witch.
She's the first one.
Yeah.
They invented tribrids with her, and then it turns out that's the only thing that can kill the bad guy.
Okay, and so there's a witch and a werewolf and a vampire that all made the bad guy, and that's why you have to have all three to undo it. Although it never quite made sense to me why they don't just like get three people who meet the same characteristics to do it, but you know,
because then the tripod wouldn't have a point.
Well, maybe then she'd be happy and she'd be able to be with Landon instead of having to worry about protecting everyone all the time.
Let's talk about Landon because this is some fucked up shit. Okay,
can I just quickly confirm because I'm looking through some wild shit on the Wikipedia page right now. Are we going full spoilers? What's the situation here?
I mean, prefer if we didn't spoil past the middle of season two.
Okay, I'll have to figure out.
Because that's as far as I really got. Okay. Christmas. The Christmas episode is the last one that I saw chronologically.
That's some freaky shit right there. But I want to talk about Landon. Okay. Because I'm pretty sure, like, okay. So he is apparently just like a basic bitch dude that the tripod falls in love with because, of course, she is going to fall in love with like the basic bitch. And then
she has a choice of anyone in the world and she chooses the nice, nerdy guy.
She like everybody. Apparently her first kiss was like a 90-year-old, which is kind of creepy, but that's vampire. What she chose.
Yeah. Vampire. It's
how different. Does that better?
I mean, they're still hot.
It's just. It's creepy as fuck. It's just okay. This is like the Twilight thing again. Okay, like just right. Speak. Like that's the whole problem. She has to choose between a pedo or like a wolf, which is not great. Like he, like how old was he? He was like 100 something. Like what kind of weirdo would want to date someone who's only been alive for like 10% of their life?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that was an original, so we didn't actually watch that, and we don't really understand.
Yeah.
But Landon, right, he has a good smile. He has, like, these haunted dark eyes. And turns out Landon's also really special.
Yeah, because he's the son of the creepy fucking tar pit.
Mm-hmm.
He's the tar pit spawn.
And, like, a phoenix? I don't quite get it. He just, like, bursts into flame whenever he dies, and he comes back.
Apparently he can die like a lot, and then after they find that out, everyone just kills him all the time because I guess it's fun to like get your angst out by just murdering people, you know.
And he's a useful distraction. They always send him in on the suicide mission as a distraction because he just comes back after he dies.
That is a good strategy.
But like, what a shitty group of friends, because it's probably really painful to die, and they're like, "You got this. You're gonna come back anyway."
What really annoyed me is Hope is constantly like, we can't keep doing it. She's the one who's against it. She's always like, I have to save Landon. And it's like, honey, like he comes back to life. You don't, though. Like
he's like the only one you don't have to save.
But to be fair, okay, yes. But also, we don't know how many times he can die and come back. And also, if he gets dragged into the tar pit, right, his, you know, father, Malivore, the tar pit, is going to take over his body, right? So he won't be Landon anymore. So like, well, he can like, you know, be like stabbed or drowned or set on fire. I don't remember. He can't be taken to Malivore. Like she's, you know, she has a point.
I mean, I feel like she doesn't have a point. I feel like, I don't know. Like, why?
I mean,
would
if
you
Hope dies, she comes back as a vampire, right? Like she's fine.
Yeah, she's the tripod. Of course, she's gonna be fine. She's Mary Sue. Tribute. She's like the Mary Sue, but like with weird ass monster shit.
With magic powers, it's so cool.
Go ahead. I'm so sorry for interrupting your brilliant.
When do Landon and Hope have sex? Is that what we're allowed to talk about?
I'm glad that's the important thing you're picking up. This is the really important details about this story that, of course,
I don't think so, but if you really feel the need to share, Kyle, you can.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's at the end of season two, but I need to talk about this because they have sex and then Landon melts. because...
Oh, I think I missed that part. That's fucking hilarious.
I definitely haven't gotten that far.
Because
this is the kind of spoiler I live for. Please elaborate.
Because he's Malivore's son, it turns out that he's also weak to tribrid, and then when they have sex, he just melts and he dies.
Oh, that's just fucking gold.
And it traumatizes Hope. It's very traumatic for her because she finally opened herself up to someone and then they melted and died.
And then they melted after penetration. So fucked up. That is the most... That's... You know what?
This show sounds great.
This is breaking the mold a little bit, but I just have to say on another podcast we listen to, wink, wink, they asked recently about your most awkward sex story. That fits right in. I just gotta say.
Yeah, that sounds, really does. Yeah, pretty up there.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as bad as it can get. Someone melting.
Have you all met this character called the Necromancer?
I've never met them.
Okay.
But yes.
So, okay, great. Thank you, Sheridan. I wanted to read out a line from this wiki page, which I just think is fucking hilarious. So, Ben Gurren plays the Necromancer, one of the creatures from Malivore who has the power to bring back the dead. Before he was the Necromancer, he was a man named Ted, which, one, rhymes and is hilarious. But two, is that relevant? Like, what the fuck? Why is that a relevant piece of information?
It comes up, actually. It genuinely does come up.
That his name was Ted, and that's important.
Yeah.
His name was Ted. Think Ted the Necromancer. You know, I can see why you have such high esteem of this show, Raquel. I get it.
Is it Ted because it rhymes with dead? Is that really why he's called
that?
Oh,
wow. That... wow.
I think maybe it's more like fate, you know? Fate's really a concept that comes up in the show a lot. And I think maybe if you're called Ted, you're just, you're really attracted to things that you rhyme with. I mean,
things that you rhyme with?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He's really proud of his whole deal, you know?
So he's attracted to dead and bread and lead.
Yeah, everyone,
and
okay,
men.
Everyone loves,
and
yeah.
He was either going to be a necromancer or a baker, and, you know, it was basically a flip of a coin.
I mean, he probably, like, sets people on fire, like, burns them in ovens or something. Like, I don't know.
I feel like real talk, though. I feel like burning someone in an oven would be the stupidest thing for the necromancer to do, because how hard has it got to be to actually reanimate a burned-up piece of ash,
also,
basically?
That's not baking. That's cooking, isn't it? Like,
that's fucking up
to get technical.
If you're in an oven, right... I don't know. I don't do a lot of it.
You can roast. Yeah, I can tell, Raquel. But, you know, it's fine. You're pretty, so you're okay.
How much do you cook, Sheridan?
I don't know. More than you do, I guess. I don't know. At least I know more shit about it.
Like what? Is it baking?
Look, I'm going to admit that was a terrible comeback. But the point remains, like, you don't know shit about cooking.
Yeah, so, why would I?
I mean, you got me there. I don't know.
Yeah, Vampire Diaries has 8 seasons. The Originals has 5 seasons, and Legacies is currently in season 4. I'm just really excited for what the spin-off of this show is going to be.
I want to know... I do have a spoiler about the Necromancer. It's a fairly minor spoiler.
I think you
spoiler.
Mean Ted. Sorry.
I do mean Ted. I do mean Ted. Just because I saw this, and I feel like it needs to be shared. Okay. So I guess Malivore, like, told the Necromancer Ted that he was gonna try to let him have peace or something, and so he basically turned him back into human Ted, and human Ted got a job at a fucking ice cream shop, and he met a guy, Chad, who he talked into becoming his acolyte, and he, like, straight up, like, raised a dead cockroach from the ground, like, from the dead. In the ice cream shop.
Ted
and
that Chad did? Chad.
No, Ted did. And that got Chad on his side. Because seeing Ted resurrect a dead cockroach on the floor of the ice cream shop, I guess, really sold it to him. And he's like, basically, all right, man.
Yeah. Malivore can't fully take away his magical powers. So he just, like, resets him to zero. So then he has to relearn how to be the necromancer and not Ted anymore.
And the really great thing is his boss, like... kept trying to get him to sing every time they put money in the tip jar, and he just got really fucking mad like really mad because he's like, I'm the great necromancer. This is above me, blah, 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 blah. And it was.
So he still remembered who he was? That's.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. It was great. And frankly, I think once you see this, you'll probably have a lot more insightful things to say about it, even though it's really just bullshitting. But because it's a necromancer raising a cockroach in an ice cream shop. So there's only, I don't know.
And it is weird that he remembers himself because like that comes up because one of the things when Malivore, the demon that's shaped like a tar pit, eats you, everyone forgets who you are. Like everyone loses memories of who you are and like everything about you, which is just the weirdest plot device.
It's like, a lot.
It's really weird, but it doesn't work on the tripod because, I mean, like, everyone forgets about her, but she somehow manages to escape the tar pit that's supposed to be inescapable.
Well, it's not somehow manages to escape. He, you know, ejects her out of him because she's, like, poison to him.
Yeah.
If only Landon had been that smart.
Yeah. The monsters thing.
Can we talk about, does everyone have a favorite monster from... maybe some of the episodes we've seen, or not.
Oh man, let me see. I want to look on the Wikipedia thing and just look at the monsters.
I like the genie.
The Jenny, because she kept getting mad. The Jenny.
Yeah, it's really annoying when people don't pronounce things correctly. It's not very respectful.
Yeah, it's really fucking annoying. I don't know why anyone wouldn't do that. No one's, I never do that.
Yeah, because I mean, you could argue that Lizzie kind of deserved what she got at the end because she found a loophole, but also she did never say Jenny right. And so, I don't know.
Here, we should say who these people are because people listening to this are going to be like, you guys like are just making people up as we go along.
Yeah, if I could step out of character for a moment, just as Elliot, let's be real, nobody has seen this show that we're talking about here today. This is a real show. I don't know if some people might think we're making this up.
Okay, yeah, it is actually a real show and it's kind of...
And I love this show! I love it!
Let's just fully break out of character.
I literally begged my fiancé so that we can watch another one like a couple nights ago. I love the show.
It's so dumb. I mean, I do enjoy watching it, but like it's straight up like this is not highbrow stuff, you know?
I love it. Genuine, like as Elliot, I describe this as it's just what if packed and pale but bad.
It's like, pretty accurate.
What this show is.
Yeah, it's like straight up just like, let's put some teen drama and just like sprinkle some, you know, werewolves and stuff in there just so that like the nerds will pick up on this. And it worked. So,
I'm genuinely upset at how much I like really want to continue watching this show.
I know, me too. It's not though. When you should watch it, it's not good at all. It's entertaining though.
To be honest,
it's so bad.
Four seasons is not that many. Like it's fine.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so just to go, I don't know if I'm even in or out of character now, but like the cast, we have Hope, who we've talked about. She's the Mary Sue tribid. Bullshit person.
This might be the most the term Mary Sue has ever been appropriate for a character.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I mean,
frankly, she's very Mary Sue.
She's so Mary Sue.
Eventually, she starts not saving the day literally every single episode by herself. But it's not like that stops happening entirely. It's just focus on some other characters sometimes. But yeah, she is very perfect in every way.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Okay, there's Landon, which is the boyfriend, which we talked about briefly.
The nerd self-insert boyfriend for the
nerdy and he
men who have feelings.
He has no like, yeah, he has no powers except for being able to die a bunch and come back, which I mean, granted, it's been useful for him because everyone's
been
keeps
useful
to, yeah, people keep trying to kill him, which even Hope killed him. She killed him before she jumped into the pit because she's like, it's going to be too hard to explain it and he won't let me jump into the pit. So I'm just going to murder him because he'll come back.
He'll come
and then
back.
Alaric Saltzman, who I'll who is the headmaster of the school and father of the fucking year. He like like okay. he really likes Hope. Okay, yeah, you can't say he's like a great I mean, I don't know. He
seems much more into his relationship with Hope than his actual daughters.
Yeah.
To give full context to this, I only started watching it. My sister was the one who put this on. And then I like started watching it with her and got like heavily addicted, I'll admit. But like I joined about episode 3. I spent about 4 episodes genuinely believing that Hope was Alaric's daughter. Just because he was so much more invested in her than his I thought it was like, oh, her two sisters hate her because she's the favorite child. And then eventually it was pointed out to me, she's not even really his daughter. And I was like, oh, that's worse.
Yeah, like, this is weird. Like, this is some weird stuff.
Yeah, and there was, like, weird, like, vaguely sexual tension the first couple episodes between them. And I was like, wow, I hate this. Because they were more like colleagues who, like, destroyed monsters together than, like, father, daughter, and or headmaster, student. And it was really uncomfortable. And I'm glad that that's stopped. Well,
they decided to change that. Because that's...
glad that's calmed
that's
down.
Some weird... it's weird. Yeah.
But he's a character from The Vampire Diaries. Ben and I were trying to Google a bunch of things to figure out what things were references or what we were supposed to know or not. But so that's kind of fun that he like, and like good for him, you know, acting gigs. He is still employed.
He's still employed and he was in Legally Blonde, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Which that blew my mind when I figured that out. And I'm not going to say who. Because I don't know, spoilers. Intrigued. Yeah, spoilers for Legally Blonde. Oh, in case you haven't seen it yet. Okay. I don't know. Okay, just Lizzie and Josie are his daughters, who are twins.
Mm-hmm. Fraternal.
And fraternal twins. They look really fucking different. Lizzie is really full of herself and thinks that like she's the shit.
She's genuinely the worst person in the show. Like,
But then like, she becomes so great. She does. I think she gets better. Like once she and Hope and Josie become like friends, and then she's still an asshole, but in like a really fun way.
That's fair.
Like kind of in a Sheridan way, but honestly a little bit nicer.
Honestly nicer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be right. Josie's the other twin that just like is a living doormat. Unfortunately, but I think that's kind of accurate. MG is a vampire who's like the super nerd vampire, which is really
he's adorable.
It's so he's really into comic books, and you know, Green if everyone Lantern. Would just give him a chance, they'd see that he's such a great guy.
And he loves Lizzie.
Well,
which
everyone specifically Lizzie. Great. Yeah, Lizzie and MG, I think, are like the two people who have not had a crush on Hope at this point that I've seen. Like literally, that
I think you're right, which is really it. Kind of a
or at least like anyway
they've got Raphael, which is Landon's BFF and
like very moody foster brother who is a werewolf, and that's why they're at the school.
So can we talk about the werewolves? Because
yes,
I like in episode like 3 I think it was, Raphael finally joins this school. Which we should point out, it's a very special school because it's the only magic school that accepts vampires, werewolves, and witches.
Yes.
All of the others are like
racist or
segregated,
something.
I guess, is the word.
Which, I mean, probably makes sense just in terms of like, I mean,
the fact that like werewolf bites kill vampires.
It's kind of a questionable choice to like,
and they kind of lose control when they like turn or whatever. Is
I mean, human bites can lawsuit. Kill humans, and I go to school with other humans. Like,
but like, do they have it to?
But most humans don't try to bite other humans to like eat. You know,
but some do.
When I say most,
it's probably more common in werewolves. But anyway, The werewolf thing, so Raphael joins the school and he has to join the werewolf pack at the school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do what the werewolf alpha says. So then he ends up fighting the dude for the alpha thing. And I just have to say, I can't believe they're still making this shit in 2019. Like, we're still doing
alpha wolf
thing.
Yeah, it was annoying.
I also thought it was bullshit that Raphael won. Like, he's been a werewolf. He's, like, known he's been a wolf for, like, like
a week or whatever,
week, and he beat the alpha wolf who's had like training at this school. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't believe that.
Well, so
he's just more special than the other alpha.
You're right. He's got more angst.
The reason to become an alpha was more just and pure because he was trying to keep Landon at the school.
Are you trying to be Raphael, or are you actually like saying this, Malia?
I'm explaining it like, you know, if this was like packed or whatever, the spirits might be like, ah, yes, let's do it. Because yeah, I do think that this show does a lot of fun things with them. So the necromancer, for instance, to go back to him for a second, he was consumed by the thing that makes everyone forget that you exist or whatever. And so he's there and he's like, I'm the necromancer. And he like, you know, makes it into this really big deal. And it's really funny because everyone is just like, literally who? And it just is played up in such a fun, like silly way. That I don't know. It's just like little things like that where they really play with the genre.
But you know what? Thinking about that, that's interesting because they eat all these monsters, right? And these monsters all come back out of this pit. How do they know what some of those things are?
Well, I think it's like the individual is forgotten. You ate one vampire and memory and knowledge of all vampires exist or whatever, like, or disappears or whatever.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but they made it seem like there is only, like, they only thought that there were three types of, like, I guess, mythical creatures, like vampire, witch, and werewolf. And now they're having these other things come out of the pits. They're finding out more things exist.
But my understanding is that the memory thing is the writer's way of saying, yeah, sure, for the other two shows, there weren't other monsters, but now there are, and it's because this thing has been eating them all and making you forget or whatever. But also, I guess people did write down stuff about dragons, so, like, you know, there's lore about dragons, but we just didn't think they were real.
Right.
Mm.
It is.
Okay.
I think they play up a little bit the whole, like, wait, dragons are real? Like, surrounded by vampires and shit.
I think that they like play up the drama so that you don't care about the holes in the plot.
Well, and that's another thing that reminds me of the other verse, right? Like it's, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, the parent drama and like Brett, and this is so horrible. And then it's like, oh yeah, this big like really cool magical thing happened. Like, that's not what I'm emotionally attached to. It's, you know.
Yeah, but the differences in the other verse and Pale, like, it makes sense.
That's fair.
Like, yeah, it's not like a tripod size hole.
Yeah, I do think you could study this side by side with something like Pale to really get your head around why it works in one and not the other, because Legacies has moments where it works, but generally I'm just like, pick a lane. We're either doing scary monsters or we're doing teenage angst. You can't do both.
It's just the cheese and like, oh man, like, okay. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. I mean, it's great. I like watching bad shows because it's really entertaining, but like, oh my goodness.
Okay, but can we talk about the Christmas episode? Because holy shit, that was possibly the best piece of media I've ever seen in my life. Like, oh my god. Okay, so the thing, right, with this show is that there's these monsters that are coming to the school to like do the bad thing.
Are we dropping all pretense of characterization? Is this just like us talking about the show now?
I think so. I've given up on trying to.
Yeah, I think so.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay, I just thought I'd check. I just thought I'd ask.
I really like the show. Okay, so it's like every episode you're primed as the viewer, you know, for like, oh, what's the new monster of the week or whatever. And this episode starts out where, like, you know, somebody's outside and it starts snowing. And no one's wearing like winter clothes, right? And so you're like, and like the season, like season one, Hope made some like comment about, we don't know what could be in there. Like, it could be Santa, like Santa could be evil. And I was like, it's evil Santa. Like, I was really excited. Turns out it's Krampus and Santa. Like, this fucking episode like totally goes off the rails. But it's just like really, really fun because there's all these like characters who, you know, like, just a lot of the characters like in like ugly Christmas sweaters, and because they're all, you know, their minds are all like, it's Christmas, and they're just like all walking around, and it's like the main headmaster guy is, who's like a vampire hunter and is, you know, whatever, and he's like, oh, this is so bad, this is a monster, and his like the dude who does all the research or whatever, like, hands him cocoa, is like, have some cocoa first. And then he just, like, gets this smile and he's like, what was I talking about? And they were like, Christmas! Yeah.
And it's
just
so good. And it's not even Christmas. It's
they all
like
get
October.
Infected by the Christmas spirit. Yeah, in October. Awesome.
Oh my god. So then they figure out, right, that it's, well, because there's the bad guy who's one of the bad guys who's heard too hard to explain, right, is like, oh, it's the Krampus, and, you know, whatever, which is, you know, the German German version of Santa Claus who comes and, like, puts children in a sack and hits them when they're bad. And so yeah. The Krampus comes, and they're like, but the Krampus isn't dead, and then the sack starts moving that the Krampus had, and Santa Claus comes out of the bed. And then Santa Claus proceeds to beat the shit out of the Krampus, and, like, because Hope is, like, about to go do it, right, because Hope is, you know, the badass, and the headmaster's like, no, like, it's his fight, like, like, what the fuck?
Okay, he literally, like, I think before, like, kicking the shit out of him or something, like, Santa goes, ho, ho, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's his fucking line. I was like, are you kidding
me? That
is
a good one.
And then they spent, then you spend the next 5 minutes watching this badly choreographed scene of Santa beating the shit out of a Krampus.
So bad.
Who's like, it's very, like, Grinch themed with, like, he's wearing the suit and he has, and he's like, oh, he has a heart that's too small. And, but it was just so fun. Cause also, like, the Hope, like, she's not infected by the Christmas spirit because of her tragic past and stuff. And so yeah. She manages to spoil that, or she tells, you know, this one kid that Santa's not real before the whole big reveal or whatever. She's like, Santa's not real. We all have to snap out of it. And there's just this one little kid named Pedro who's kind of a constant. He's the constant, like, child who he's I don't like understand the why kid. There's a bunch of children there. Yeah. Like,
they're never really explained. Bad parenting. I don't know.
But he gets really upset and, like, runs out of the room. It's just so.
And no one says anything like, maybe you shouldn't be a dick to the child. They're just like, Hope is right. Let's put down the cocoa and let's see if we can kick some Krampus ass. And
then they sort of do, and then Santa helps. Oh, it's so good.
It was like, I think I wrote, yeah, it was like, it reminded me of Freddy versus Jason, except, like, Santa Claus and Krampus.
Mm-hmm. Although, well, it was also fun. Yeah.
This is from someone who hasn't actually seen Freddy versus Jason. So it's probably nothing like it, but that's just what I thought.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
It was a lovely episode.
It was, I mean, those Christmas sweaters, like, those were, like, straight up, like, ready, you know? Like, I guess you could be like, sure, it was the magic of Santa. But no, I think that they just, like, had these ugly-ass sweaters just, like, ready for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, I don't know.
It was great. And I'm wondering, like, when, I guess I could look it up, like, when that aired during the year, if it was, like, a Christmas one for the audience or not. Because it was, yeah, it would have been, like, really funny to just, like, not at all be.
Ooh, it should say that on here, actually. I want to see, let's see here. Oh, that's season 3. I don't care about season 3. That's,
spoilers.
How's that spoiler? I just said I don't care about season 3.
No, yeah, okay, fine.
Man, my sister's been watching season 4. I've caught most of it. And y'all, this show gets wild.
it gets wild.
Season 4 is even more unhinged than the other three.
She's like, I'm so happy. What season was that? Was that season 2?
It was 2 episode.
Okay, I just, 8? What was 9, that called?
8-ish, yeah.
It's called Christmas.
Yeah.
It's called This Christmas Was Surprisingly Violent. That's the name.
I mean, I guess that does describe the events of the episode.
They do try to name the episodes after a line someone says in it, which sometimes is a hit and sometimes a miss.
It sure, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Here's the summary. We
haven't talked about it, but my favorite one was the one where they all thought Hope fell into Malibu, so they all forgot she existed. And then Landon, her boyfriend, describes his life as hopeless, like 10 times in that next episode. And it's just like, it was kind of the first time I was like, oh, yeah, nice. And then he kept doing it. And I was just like, guys, stop.
Kept doing it.
I think the episode's called, like, I'm Never Gonna Give Up Hope or something. Like,
it's like, just. Just make me puke. Jeez. That's fucking ridiculous. Like, it's kind of, it's like the Mary Sue-ness. I'm just like, really? Like, come on. Like, and of course, like, every episode almost, like, it's her and Alaric, the you know, principal guy, like, sparring with some random ass, like, long sticks, and they're doing this like fighting thing, and then she always like ends up beating him
somehow, beats him, yeah,
because like, sure, that makes sense for like a tripod to need to know how to fight like martial arts or whatever too, because
it's like she has it's like she has a rider in her comp in her contract or something. Like, I think The Rock and like some other action heroes have something where like they can't lose a fight, and it's almost like her actor like has that.
Yeah, and they just like are fucking ridiculous. Like, she just has to win everything, and even when, yeah, I don't know, it's just, it's fucking absurd. Yeah. It's very entertaining though, but
speaking of Hope losing things though, can we talk about the talent show episode? So this is an episode where the school talent show is on. And at the same time, a unicorn is the monster of the week, but the unicorn isn't really the monster, because the unicorn is like leaking slugs.
It's like parasite, yeah.
And the slugs make you really confident, and like, they basically make you act like you're drunk, essentially. Oh my god. And so
you lose like, your inhibitions or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so then they all do very well in the talent show, and it's like the episode tries to kind of wrap up the whole slug thing. They don't really land it because they were clearly too busy having everybody do their fantastic talent performances.
Well, and they also have a redo, which is pretty funny, because like there's like the really amazing talent performances, and you know, they had to figure out what was going on, so the vampires were like, we'll do a protest, and they never explained what they were protesting, and then the werewolves were like, I don't know, we'll juggle and whatever, and then the witches are like, we're gonna do this choreographed show, and so you get to see both the like really cool like amazing dances, and like, and then, my god, and then when Ref does like poetry or whatever, that was so cringe. And then, yeah, but then you
get to see really like, cringe.
Vampires also,
that's when he announces to Hope and Landon that he's also in love with his best friend's girlfriend.
Because of course he's in love with Hope. Yeah. He has to be in love with Hope.
And we get that delivered through slam poetry. Yeah, yeah.
Which is great. So, and it's like at the beginning when you get introduced to Raphael, it seems like it's going to be a love interest where like Josie and like is going to be his love interest, but then Lizzie, you know, her sister, for anyone who's forgetting, like ends up that she likes him, and then Josie's like, well, Lizzie claimed him, so I guess I'm just gonna not fucking do anything. And then like it's like this weird thing where it seems like there's gonna be like a love triangle there, and then it just gets fucking dropped because,
well, Hope. It's actually just like one line. So yeah, Josie votes on the like school council that apparently makes binding decisions, which is so dumb because it's like like, you know, teenagers who can just make binding decisions for the school. But she votes for Landon to leave because maybe he's dangerous, we don't understand or whatever. And so Roth just looks straight at Caleb and Josie and is like, we're done, and like storms out of the room or whatever, because Hope voted for Landon to leave, but like because she wanted to protect him. And that was like, that was the end.
That was forever. It. And everyone's fine. And then here's the bullshit that, like, Alaric and Hope decide later on, we're just going to bring Landon back. Who cares about the fucking boat? We're just going to not talk to anybody about it. We're going to bring him back. No one has a problem with it. No one says a thing.
Yeah. It was a bummer too, because Raph and Josie had like kind of, they were cute, they had cute chemistry. Yeah,
it was, I was kind of disappointed when it was another Hope thing, because I was like,
yeah,
really?
I think Josie gets really shortchanged by this show, because they set her up with this really interesting premise of she's somebody who is like codependent with Lizzie and always lets Lizzie get her way and puts Lizzie before herself. And then it's like they forgot to actually give her the character arc where she learns to like value herself. And it's just been like,
yeah,
three seasons of her being like, oh, I understand, I'm important now. And then in the next episode, she's just letting Lizzie do whatever again. And it's just like, she's so close to being the most interesting character in the show, but she just didn't.
Well, obviously, her self-respect keeps getting thrown in the Malivore pit, so she keeps
clearly. Same with Lizzie, to be honest, because she, I mean, Lizzie is not the incredible raging bitch that she was in, like, the first half of season one, but she's still, like, not, like, great, and because of, like, how that always happens with Josie, where Josie, you know, is like, you know, you're not considering me, blah, 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 it just, it's a little frustrating that they aren't, but, like, I guess it's, like, the writers don't know where to take those characters and if they're like,
it's
we've
just
dealt
odd,
with our issues.
Because, like, they try to play it off like saying, oh, Lizzie has, like, what, witch bipolar or something? And so they try to be like, it's, like, a mental illness and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they, I feel like they don't tend to have her making any, like, headway with it. They always show her it as she's acting like a crazy bitch instead of, like... I don't know, something more realistic. I mean, not that you expect this to be that nuanced of a show anyway, but it's just this, like... Yeah.
She often talks about the therapy she's doing off screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, like, as close as they've ever come to, like, addressing it as a... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's like, I don't know. I feel like if I had bipolar... Or whatever, because I think they say it's like witch bipolar. I think that's what they said in the show. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I would be kind of offended because I'd be like, yeah. "This is what you're saying. Like, this is what you're telling it. You're telling everybody it's this like stereotypical like crazy shit when it's not. You know." I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not qualified to say, but I tend to agree. If I found out from somebody that, like, you know, who was better qualified to say that this is super off the mark and offensive, it would not surprise me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you have manic episodes where, like, you feel like you can kind of do anything. You have a lot of high energy. You might make more reckless decisions, sure. But then you also have the depressive periods where you're fucking depressed. And then there's
she doesn't really
there's,
seem
like,
to have...
She doesn't really have the depressive-ish, like, episodes.
Right.
And the manic, it just seems like they just are like, let's make her, like, a super crazy fucking bitch, you know? Like, and just, like, narcissistic and just, like, terrible. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's, like, also a lot of, like, you know, you get more creative and I don't know. I'm not an expert on that either, but, like, it's just, I'm like, I feel like I would be a little bit offended, possibly.
Has the merge been introduced where you guys are up to? Is this spoilers to talk about the merge?
No. Yes. So we learn about the merge in season one. And then like it hasn't happened or whatever yet.
No, sure, but like you know what it is.
For those of us who haven't seen the show. Yeah.
You're like, what are you talking about? Like actually though.
Right. Go for it, Elliot.
So they're twins, and this happens a lot in their family.
The merger characters? Or are we talking about Josie and Lizzie?
No. Sorry,
Josie and Lizzie.
Yeah, they're like
twins.
From a specific line of witches, and they have twins every now and then. And basically, there's some weird thing they have to do where when they turn 22, they have to undergo the merge, which is basically they fight to the death, and then whoever wins like absorbs the other one.
Holy shit!
So it's basically just like absorbing your twin in the womb, just 22 years late.
Yeah.
And again, they introduce this as like a really cool idea of it's like, oh, so you know, in 5 years or whatever, one like these two are probably going to have to try and kill each other. And it turns out their mum has been gone for like their whole lives. Because she's been traveling their whole life. Basically, it turns out she's been traveling the world trying to find a way out of this.
Right. Because they also didn't know about it at the beginning of the show, too. Like, their parents hadn't told them, so that was a whole thing.
But, like, it's like, oh, well, this is a really interesting idea because they've set up this dynamic of, oh, Lizzie is always just very selfish and Josie always gives Lizzie everything she wants. Maybe that's going to be pushed to, like, a new limit and that dynamic will get shifted now that Lizzie knows... Oh, so that Josie knows she might actually have to die if she doesn't change that.
Right.
And then they don't.
Never really. Yeah.
And then also, like, it never comes up that, like, Alaric, their father, is very aware of that dynamic. And, in fact, oftentimes says to other characters, oh, yeah, Lizzie's kind of the dominant strong one. And then Josie's, like, you know, just follows her around. And it's like he knows that they're going to have to fight to the death in 5 years. And he's... essentially encouraging slash allowing a dynamic of one of them is good and on one top, and the other one just win. Does what she says.
As I said, yeah, father of the fucking year.
It's fucked up.
Like, he is a terrible, terrible dad. I know, like, at the very, even if that wasn't a thing, even if the merge wasn't a thing, like, step in and don't let your daughter be right, such a fucking terror.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah. Jeez. Like, stick up for your, I mean, it's teaching your daughter to be a good person that people actually like, and then teaching your other daughter, you know, you're worth something. Like, it's okay if you get things. I don't know. It's just, like, it's,
yeah. Well, failing, it's one of those things where when they find out about the merge, Lizzie and Josie are like, we're going to find a way through this. We won't do this to each other. And they, like, hug it out, and it's like, oh, that's great. And then the next episode, it's like it never happened.
Yeah.
They're just, I feel like, their old dynamic.
They're my favorite, or I think I like the episodes with them in it a lot. Like, I when they're not in the episode, I am not as interested. And part of me is like, they do play a lot of lip service to things improving and getting better. And I mean, to where I've seen, I almost think that like Josie would win the merge, partially because Lizzie is so like, I mean, like, her mental health's not great, and there, like, have been certain times where Josie, like, shows that she's more powerful or whatever. But it always does revert back to, for the Christmas thing, it's like, you know, everyone got to wish for what they wanted, and so Santa, like, gives people whatever the fuck they wanted or whatever at the end. But we only saw two of the wishes, and so Josie wished for, like, the perfect present for her father. And, like, I'm like, we are 1.5 seasons through this show, and this bitch fucking like spends her magic wish on like someone, and we're all just fucking fine with that. I was so mad. I was like, and she's like, because at the end he's like, Santa left you this present, my daughter, and she's like, that means it's for you, and it's just like, ah,
like, and it's like, no matter what you do, he's still gonna be okay with Lizzie like rampaging all over. I don't know. I was like, maybe you're right, trying to win his love.
If that had been Lizzie, right, it was like, oh, wow, Lizzie, like, thought of someone else, and, like, that's so cool, and she's taking joy in, like, seeing someone else, like, happy, and, like, you know, like, that would have been great, but no.
And no, it's like, she's being a doormat again.
Hey, can we just stop the recording for a second, because I gotta go to the bathroom quickly. I'm just gonna...
No, don't click stop, I haven't figured out how to edit yet!